Geil. Ja, yeah, right. Good morning. The notices say it's John Angelo to speak today, but I'm just speaking on behalf of us both. I wear the trousers in our relationship. She tells me which ones to wear. To start off, I read from the book of Job, chapter 36, verse 26. Behold, God is great, and we do not know him. Scrolling on down to verses 32 to 33. He covers his hands with lightning, and he commands it to strike. The thunder declares it. Go on to Job 37, verses 2 to 5. Hear attentively the thunder of his voice, and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He sends it forth under the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with majestic voice, and he does not restrain them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvellously with his voice. He does great things we cannot comprehend. God says of himself in further on, chapter 38, 25, who has divided a channel of overflowing water or a path for the thunderbolt? It's interesting what Peter just said in that word before. Isn't our God awesome?
Yes.
Isn't he amazing?
Yes.
6 months ago, he did a funny thing to us. He struck our house with lightning. So we've either done something really good or mega bad. So you can decide that for yourselves. This morning is just our testimony of what happened, which despite all the damage and subsequent massive problems we encountered with our home insurance company, does point to the great glory of God. Also, our talk today contains a challenge for us all, whether you're a believer or not, about the will of God. Anyway, 30th of March this year, Angela put our kids to bed, and I was at work on a night shift, when about 01:40 hours in the morning, one, possibly two lightning bolts struck our house. Local ITV news crew picked up the story, and this is what they had to say. Thanks, Steve. Yeah.
Welcome to Look Around, half an hour packed with news for Cumbria and the south of Scotland. On tonight's programme, homes damaged and hundreds left without power. We look at the destruction caused by Storm Gareth.
It was just horrendous. The almighty bang. We were upstairs, me and the children. Just the scariest moment of my life.
Well, if you lived, as Ralph said, particularly in the North Cumbria area, you were possibly woken in the night by some extremely spectacular but very loud thunder and lightning. Some people saying that they thought an explosion had happened, and that was a little too close to the truth for a couple of families in the village of Coat Hill, which is about 10 miles away from here, as their homes were struck by lightning. I've been speaking to one of them whose family had a really lucky escape. The damage caused by a direct lightning strike. The chimney blown apart and bricks and slates rained down on the garden.
Lots of it's hit my husband's car. You can see the damage that it's done to that.
Possibly a write-off?
Yeah, I would think so.
A very shocked Amanda Glencross is still surveying the wreckage both outside and in.
The fireplace is basically just blown out of the wall. My husband had actually fell asleep downstairs, so he was lying on the couch when it all happened. It was just horrendous. There was the almighty bang. We were upstairs, me and the children. Just the scariest moment of my life. I didn't know what had happened. It sounded like a bomb had gone off. It was so bad. I'm still shaking now just thinking about it. It was horrendous.
It's likely to take some time to repair, with the family having to stay elsewhere. The house next door was also damaged in what's been an upsetting experience for everyone, especially Amanda's two young children.
when it happened, we were all just screaming. My little boy was in with me. My little girl came flying through to the bedroom. I just couldn't leave go of them. They were just clung on to me. And I was just scared coming down the stairs what we were coming down to. When we went into the living room, it was just dust and soot everywhere. My husband got us into the back of the house here, which was obviously safer for us. I'm worried about them now because obviously if there's another storm at any point, it will have traumatised them. They were absolutely petrified, so was I.
But with no one hurt, while they're counting the cost, they are also counting themselves lucky.
There was no luck involved. In that clip there, you saw our neighbour Amanda telling her family's story. And this is our family version of what happened, which we really didn't want to tell the TV crew who set up at the end of our drive at 3:30 in the morning. Today you get an exclusive one-time-only interview, which I'm fairly sure ITV would have edited out, considering what we're going to say. I wasn't home when the lightning struck, so I'm just going to read the account of what Angela wants to read out to you all about what actually happened. That evening, after putting the kids to bed, Angela had been listening to an online Bible teaching on Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, she felt challenged by the teaching. She is a bit of a worrier, as am I, and had decided to start a new journal and had written the scripture verse down before going to bed. The forecast that night said there would be strong winds, and I love the way they make out that they said there was going to, they forecast thunder and lightning, and they didn't. There was no mention of thunder and lightning that night. However, Ange felt really strongly she'd pull out the TV socket and aerial completely, and did so before going to bed. It's something which, well, Ange never does, I do. Went to bed as usual. Next thing, woken up around about 1:45 with an almighty bang. The room lit up, and realising it was a thunderstorm, Ange got up and she was going to go and look out the window when there was another massive bang. The power was off and there were sounds of car alarms going up outside, along with a strong wind, rain, hail outside. We soon realised there was some rain dripping through Daniel's ceiling and brought the kids downstairs. In the lounge there was smoke, soot and something glowing in the corner. There was ash and piece of plug and wall sockets and wires that had been blown across the lounge. Thankfully, there was no fire. The thing glowing in the corner was one of the kids' lightsabers, which the electric power surge had zapped, and we couldn't switch it off except for removing the batteries. She opened the window, cleared the air, and put the kids on the sofa with a duvet. The neighbour told us that the chimney had been struck by lightning and there were holes in the roof. And for myself at work, and Mum and Dad, then Anne rang the fire brigade. Mum, Dad, John and two fire appliances arrived about the same time. The kids found this all very exciting indeed, but we really could have done without that sort of excitement at this time of the morning, especially when the film crew turned up, who were following the fire crew for a documentary they were doing. We told them we didn't want to be on TV. We couldn't stay in the house, so after the fire crew had left, we secured our home and took the kids and some belongings and went to stay at Mum and Dad's house. Right. Oh, this is going to work. There we go. Right. And the lightning travelled from our chimney stack down the TV aerial wire outside the house. We don't have an aerial on the roof, on the chimney stack, and it entered the living room and blew out two wall sockets, which you can see on the right there. The hole in the ceiling is the one in Daniel's bedroom. Hey, that's better. Now that's the hole in Daniel's ceiling. It's about 8 feet from where his head was. Right, that's how close it was. And oops, yeah. Picture on the left is taken of the rear of our house, showing what's left the chimney stack the day after the strike. The stack's directly above Hannah's bedroom. That's her window just below it there. I just want to point out that little, it's in the shadow of the chimney stack, the square hole. It's only my opinion, darling, that I think that's been caused by a lightning strike, a spur of lightning. The pictures on the right are chunks of fallen masonry, which were cleared off the roof. And the depressions you can see in the roof there next to the chimney stack, I think have been caused by chunks of masonry bouncing off the roof and then down at the garden, because I found big 3x3 bits of masonry in the hedge down in the backyard there. And this is what we were left with. Yeah. After everyone had left the first day and our insurance company hadn't turned up, this is what our house was left like. Now, looking at all that destruction, it begs the question, where's God in all of this? He is there. I don't get to every meeting, but I did manage to listen to Lucas's online talk about worship. I'm paraphrasing what you're saying, Lucas, but I think the message was, real faith goes beyond the circumstances before there's any evidence that God will answer. About right? Yep. I've already mentioned to some of you before some very strange phenomenon that happened on that night and other things that became apparent after the strike, which, as far as Andrew and me are concerned, do point to God's great glory and hand being upon the situation and want to give God the glory for this. Well, as I left work to come home on that night, I did praise God, as did Anne and Rick on the way over, because there is a lot to praise God about in the situation which you can't see straight away. If you look beyond that picture, there is evidence of God's protection. I'm just going to explain some of that now. It's a bit lengthy, but we're going to get there. The fire chief said to me that night, normally when lightning strikes a stack, it'll travel down to four corners of the house and blow out sockets and everything that's plugged into them. For whatever reason, there's only one corner of our house affected. The electricians who came the next day and did a condition report on the house said, we can't understand this. You've only got two wall sockets blown out. Your whole house should have blown. We had our electrical power on. This is God's honest truth, guys. Within 1 hour of the strike, it was back on. It's like Blackpool Illuminations. Ange never pulls the TV aerial out or power plug out. That night she felt she had to. And doing so, I think, prevented further damage and certainly reduced the risk of a fire. Right, if you just look at the picture there, just on the left-hand side, you see there's a big hole just near the ridge tiles. If you took a direct line straight down from there, that goes to the hole in the ceiling, which you've seen before in the previous photograph. Now, it's only my opinion, but I do consider that that was a spur of lightning from the main bolt, because I found no masonry at all in the loft space. So if a lightning bolt did enter the loft space, which is tinderbox dry insulation, still begs the question why no fire occurred, because there's heat in that bolt there. Also, one of our neighbours reported seeing, because he was watching the storm as it happened, a large plume of red sparks come straight up from our house when he saw the lightning bolt strike. Another neighbour who remembered the Lockerbie air disaster, he thought a plane had crashed, it was that loud. For the bits and pieces of research we've done, we understand most lightning strikes on domestic properties have a very high chance of starting a fire. And certainly the fire crews were a bit concerned about this when they came, because it can cause fires in the cavity walls and any electrical appliances you have, and not mention circuits around the house. But there's no fire occurred in our house or Amanda's house. And just following on from that, you saw the gas fire blew out from the fireplace. It didn't blow up. It came within 6 inches of Phil's face. He was very fortunate. But no fire started. Also, in the chimney, we had a rubble bag stuffed with newspaper to stop the draft coming through. It was in March, after all. And you saw the top of the chimney blew up. Now, the pressure of that bolt obviously blew that up. But for whatever reason, that bag didn't move. It didn't ignite, just didn't move. I know the structural engineer, when he came, he couldn't understand that. He just assumed it had gone all down Phil's chimney, down the metal lining, but our side did blow up a little bit on the top. There might be a rational explanation for that, guys, but make what you will of that. Again, above Hannah's bedroom, it's evident that there's fallen masonry bounced over her head and landed in the back garden. It's only my opinion, but there might have been a lightning spur gone into her head, but there's no damage at all to Hannah's ceiling whatsoever. All our cars were unaffected by a hair's breadth by the fallen masonry, which we meant we'd leave straight away. And despite all that devastation, the gas fire being blown out, large piece of masonry showering everywhere, and the force of blast, it's a miracle that no one was killed or hurt. The there's five sort of themes, I think, Ange and me have been thinking about this, which I just want to highlight a dear, well, rather, which God's, I think, highlighted to us. I just want to share them with your church, and you can make what you will of these. Right. Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under wings you will find refuge. We actually had this word 4 weeks before we got struck by lightning about something else. I don't want to talk about that. But certainly that night, we were experienced God's powerful protection in a very powerful way. It might have been the tip of the angel's wing was just beyond Daniel's bed, which is why it came through. That's my own personal opinion, but there you go. But my Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. There's evidence of God's protection that night, I think you all agree. It did leave a lot of secular people with a lot of puzzled looks. But immediately after this event, it became very clear that God had already planned provision for us. On a long-standing arrangement, Andy's mum and dad, Anne and Rick, were due to travel away from their home for 3 weeks the day after we got struck by lightning. That was when they were going to depart. So we could move straight into their house. I don't find that any coincidence at all, because certainly our home insurance company were really unhelpful providing alternate accommodation, so God provided for us. I know they're not here today, but I just want to give thanks to Ron and Fran Wilson for kindly providing accommodation for Fran and Rick just for a short while when they returned, so we could stay a little bit longer in Anne and Rick's house till we could get alternative accommodation for work to apparently start on our house. We stayed in a holiday cottage for 2 months, which, thank God, was available every week we needed it. Because due to the rather inefficient and difficult way which our insurance company operated, we couldn't book the whole time we needed. We had to book it literally one on a 2 weeks basis. However, for whatever reason, it was just available for 2 months while we were there. No one booked it. I'll put that down to God's provision. And it also came with farmyard peacocks and cows, which the kids loved as well. So, yeah. God's got it all. Well, it's really, you know, looking at all this from the start, when you go through this, I think there's any trauma like this, you get over the initial part, which is relatively straightforward, but then the middle bit is blooming hard, guys, as anyone knows. Starting from day one, where no one turned up or even returned calls from our insurance company, the next four to five months, proved very stressful and very challenging for our family. This was to go on with our insurance company all the way from March, all the way through till August, essentially. And just likened it to being on a roller coaster that you really couldn't get off. And we've learned that this particular company had badly let people down in the floods in Carlisle. I'm not going to go into every detail, but essentially, we moved back home in June with a roof which was watertight and internal damage repaired. However, our insurance company completed a rather poor repair on our roof and home, which we had to fight for every inch to achieve. At times, it's hard to see where God is in these difficult circumstances. Beyond your control, the situation was stressful and exhausting. However, God kept reminding us that he was there. Now, at one point in May, you would have seen us in this church looking upset. I mean, I'll be honest, I wasn't upset. I was burning with pure raw anger, quite frankly. But on this occasion, we were powerfully touched by the words, and throughout the service, I think God reminded us that he was there in the storm with us, and we weren't on our own. I think that's been said today in the worship. Through the Holy Spirit, there were several encouraging words. At the end of the meeting, it was John Tomlinson who read Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, which is the verse Ange got before the lightning strike happened. And interestingly, I do recall that, you know, John almost forgot to say his verse after closing the meeting. You can make what you will of that, guys, but Ange said it was being like struck nicely by lightning again. So And just at this point, can we just thank all members of CCF who have prayed for us over 7 months. I know we've been listening to several online talks about this. Never underestimate how powerful prayer is. And I've got to remind myself of that. It's one of the most powerful weapons you have for this life before you go to the next. What does God say about this? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. This is a word we had during the storm, and we don't know the reason why this happened, or indeed why we were struck by lightning. And similarly, I think in the book of Job, the Bible doesn't give any definite reasons why bad things happen to people. They do. But Job does say in verse 25, verse 19, when he's going for a greater misfortune what befell us. I mean, he lost his family. I don't know how I would deal with that. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on this earth. One of the conclusions we can draw from this whole experience is that God is the only lifeline, the rock, anchor cable, whatever you want to call it, that we had to hold on to. And it was one of the most stressful periods of life, and we had to just hold on to God through all this time. When your strength has run out and you're weak, God will rush in. And my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Let's see if I can get this on the next one, guys. Thanks, Steve. Yeah. Bit of a lengthy verse, but another conclusion we've drawn from this is that God does allow storms in your life and all of our lives, basically to produce fruit, patience and perseverance. I think 1 Colossians verse 10 to 14 illustrates this. I'll just read it out, guys. It's a bit lengthy, but it does hammer the hot point home. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increased in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. That's a brilliant one, that, isn't it? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conferred to us the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, that last part, I think, is, well, we've certainly taken from it, and I might put it at the church today. God has shown us that we had to speak out forgiveness, and particularly towards our home insurance company, in order to move forward with him, and in doing so, bear fruit. If we wanted, we could go to social media, we could go to the press and slate the insurance company who's made an absolute mess of our genuine claim where we could have been killed. We will not be doing so. The claim's currently with the Financial Ombudsman. Regardless of the outcome, that's as far as we're going to take it. It doesn't nullify what they did, or rather what they didn't do. But in the end, we closed out our claim, cancelled our home insurance policy, and we got a good one, I'll say that, and we're looking to complete the works ourselves. And finally, on a positive note, we had been praying for opportunities to share our faith, and this provided one massive opportunity to tell people about Jesus and faith. So, thank you, Jesus. Almost there. It's evident that God has had his hand upon us through the situation, and still has. It's ongoing. And we have to recognise that ultimately this is God's will for us. It's been incredibly challenging and to get through, but our faith would not have matured and grown had we just been sitting comfortably at home having a nice time. This is a challenge for every believer here today and the world, because Jesus didn't promise you an easy life, he promised you an abundant life. God will work a great deal in difficulties if you allow him to do so. I'm just going to finish on two things. The first is a challenge to us all to be ready. This has come from the watchman point of view, but we feel that just like we were suddenly struck by lightning without any warning, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ will be like a thief in the night. We've been challenged to be ready as much as possible and to take opportunities to share our faith and to follow God's will as faithful servants. I don't think I need to tell anyone here, just looking at the geopolitical and natural events that this going through this world today would probably make anyone, especially a person without faith, get really worried. But as Jesus said to his disciples concerning the end times, Matthew 24, verse 6 to 8, most of you will know it. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars. See to it that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. But don't be worried about it, or anxious about it, because God is in control. And in everything, in prayer and thanksgiving, make your request to God, and he will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding, which this world cannot give you. Secondly, and finally, I'm just going to read from Psalm 46. It's only a short one. Particularly the first verse. We would just say this is for the church. We'll put it out there. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place and the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns a chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Commentary, one of our Bibles, does say, a present help means a help that has been found to be reliable or proven to be a reliable stronghold in the past, so that any future calamity, there's no reason to fear. God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, guys. Through this experience, we can testify to God's faithfulness and promises in his words. They are true, and we'll continue to trust him. That's all I've got to say, guys. Thanks for listening.